Good morning, everyone. Hope you have had a great weekend and starting to enjoy the summer weather. We are getting into our last message of the Marginalized God series, and just believing that the Holy Spirit is doing something. I had one of the gentlemen in our church, one of our board members, Rick, gave me this sheet of paper, and it just confirms some things that just what we're going after the last month and a bit, and even today. It refers to 1 Kings 8, 10, 11, when the temple of Solomon was dedicated, God's presence came so completely that no one could stand, not the congregation, not the worship team, not even the priest. Everyone was completely filled by God's presence. It was immeasurable. And then he prays this prayer, Father, today fill us immeasurably. Holy Spirit, come. There is so much more of you, and we desire your immeasurable presence here today. Holy Spirit, come. I've been reading through the one-year Bible that is produced by Alpha, and it has a devotional with Nikki Gumbel, and if you know anything about Alpha, you know that they are constantly praying, Holy Spirit, come, or they'll say, come, Holy Spirit. And even that last part of that prayer that Rick put down just made me think about how I was coming into the service just praying that the Holy Spirit would come. And so we're believing that this is more than a series, that the Spirit of God will become more of a person in our life on a regular basis. And I pray that you are meditating on each message and that you're applying it to your life. And so we're going to go into this last message and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. There is a young man when I was a teenager, actually even before I was a teenager, he joined our church when I was a child, and he was in my age group, and so we were always together in Sunday school and did various things together, and this kid, Tony, really didn't understand church. He didn't know the rules, and most of you, if you're new to church, there's not a whole lot of rules here, but there are some unspoken rules from time to time in certain people's minds. And I remember sitting beside him one day in communion. And when I was a kid, communion was a bit freaky because the pastor would get up and talk about that if you didn't drink the juice and eat the bread in a worthy manner, that there was going to be this condemnation on your life. And so I remember getting the communion cup and going, oh my goodness, I told someone off this week, I'm going to be cursed if I drink this stuff. And so I'd put my juice to the side and decide not to take the communion that day. And after we were done the communion, Tony looked at me and he said, hey, are you drinking your juice? I was like, no. And he's like, oh man, can I have it? Like we don't offer seconds in communion, but Tony thought that this was fine. And so I was like, sure. And so he takes the cup and he drinks it. And he goes, oh man, I love wine. This was just grape juice, right? But he just didn't get it. And I remember, like, there were moments after moments. I'm going to tell you another story in a few moments as we get into the middle of the message. But moment after moment, he just didn't get what you're supposed to do. This was particularly interesting in Sunday school class. Ted Marshall was my Sunday school teacher, was youth leader. He was a saint. He looked after this group of, we were junior high boys. And we were quite the handful, especially Tony. And so because Tony didn't really understand some of the elements of church and didn't understand very much about the Bible or anything about God, he was just there, his mom was bringing him to church, he didn't understand a whole lot, he would try to participate, but in very awkward ways. And so Ted would be teaching the lesson, we'd be on some passage, and Tony would throw his hand up, and he would be anxious, he'd have that look on his face like, I want to say something. And so Ted would say, hey, yes, Tony, what would you like to ask? And he's like, man, did you guys see the movie that was on TV last night? And he would, and friends, this is no word of a lie. Some of the material that he was watching on these movies was very, very inappropriate. And he would start to go down the road of some of the things that he watched. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Sunday school's never been so exciting. And Ted Marshall's face would go red, and he didn't know what to do with him, and so he'd try to get the conversation going another direction. We continued teaching, and Tony would throw his hand up again, and he would start to talk about some obscure thing that had nothing to do with it. And you could see Ted was getting so frustrated. This happened class after class after class after class. Finally, after so many of these moments, I started to watch Ted's behavior towards Tony. We'd be in the middle of the class, Tony would raise his hand, and Ted would say, are there any questions? Hand right up. And you're talking about 8 kids in the class. It's not like you can avoid one. But is there anybody who wants to say anything? Hand up. Anybody? Anybody? And he would try to ignore Tony. Tony just wanted to participate, but Ted would try to ignore him and try to just kind of try to pretend like he didn't see him wanting to participate because he wasn't sure what Tony would do. He wasn't sure what Tony would say. He wasn't sure what kind of awkwardness would be created in the room when Tony participated. Friends, I want to be honest with you that the church has done this to the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our midst who wants to participate in our gatherings. And there are moments where we just kind of like, we're looking everywhere else because we are uncomfortable of what the Holy Spirit might do, what the Holy Spirit might say, what the Holy Spirit might ask of us. And so, like Tony, the Holy Spirit wants to participate. He wants to participate every time we gather together, whether we're in a corporate setting like this or we're just a couple people. He wants to participate. And yet so many people will marginalize the Holy Spirit because we just don't feel like what he will do will make us feel comfortable. He could ask us to pray for somebody to be healed, somebody who's been prayed for many times. He could ask us to go up to somebody and tell them something about their lives that there's no possible way that we could know. He could tell us to go to somebody that we don't know and speak a prophetic word over them. He could tell us in the middle of worship to speak out a word in tongue and speak out the interpretation to raise the level of worship in the place. And friends, the truth is for the majority of people, that is an uncomfortable thing to be asked to do, any one of those things. And so when the Holy Spirit wants to participate, we tend to marginalize him. But the early church knew the importance of the Holy Spirit in their gatherings. And they knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to participate every time they gathered together. And in particular, Paul had this desire to see the Holy Spirit participate in the church gatherings. And I want to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church and he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are at work, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, just before I give you the background to this passage, let me just say this. Those of you who've grown up in the Pentecostal church, you've probably heard about the gifts of the Spirit, and you've been told that there are like 3 categories, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and we tend to categorize them and say this is the comprehensive list. I want you to know what Paul's writing here is not a comprehensive list. He's just speaking to some things that the Spirit does, some of the gifts of the Spirit. We read in some of his other letters the other ways that the Spirit works. In fact, we're told that there are times when we come to church that the Spirit wants to give a new song to somebody. That we would come and there would be a song of the Spirit, and that's a gift from the Spirit. And so I don't want us to get hung up on the fact that there's a list of some gifts here, because these are not the comprehensive list. The Spirit is constantly doing new things, working in supernatural ways, and I want to talk to you about him participating in our gatherings. The passage is written to the Corinthians. And the Corinthian church is really the epitome of the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, the workings of the Spirit. They are known as the church where if the Holy Spirit's going to do something, it's going to be in this church. And they have got very used to the Spirit at work, the Spirit participating in their gatherings. Every time they gather, they just expect the Spirit's going to participate. It had become so prominent that they had kind of forgotten about some of the pragmatic elements of faith. And Paul has to step in and he has to remind them that they need to correct some issues of morality, issues of spiritual arrogance, issues of suing one another, and abusing the communion moment. He has to say, look, you guys are so caught up on the works of the Spirit, the Spirit participating, that you need to know that there's a practical side to this also. And yet, in his corrections, and then yet in the midst of them being so prominently focused on the work of the Spirit in their gatherings, he still speaks to them about the work of the Spirit. He still speaks to them about the importance of the Spirit participating in the gatherings. And what Paul reveals in this passage that we've just read are some interesting principles that we've got to grab hold of if we're going to truly be a church that doesn't marginalize the Holy Spirit, but allows Him to participate in our gatherings. The first thing is the Spirit's manifestation. So Tony started coming to our youth group when we hit our teenage years. Didn't come a whole lot. But occasionally he would come by. And when I was a teenager, we were in the old building for Trinity Pentecostal Church in Oshawa. We were in this upstairs double room. And some of you have been in some of these churches where you've seen this. They had one of those dividing walls, one of these organ type of walls that would open all the way to one side and the other half would go to the other side, and you'd strap them in. You'd have this big room, but when you needed to have two classrooms, you would pull them together. And we had a youth group, probably about 25, maybe 30 kids, and so we only needed half of the room. And so this one season of our youth ministry, we set up the band right in front of the dividing wall. So let's pretend the dividing wall is right behind me, and the drums would be here, and some of the other instruments, keyboard, and the worship leader would be here, and then everybody was facing the dividing wall. Like, this was the stage, and everybody's facing this way, and we're in the middle of worship. And as the worship's taking place, at the back door, people are coming in late because everybody comes in late for church and for youth ministry and everything like that. And they were coming in, they go grab a seat, and we didn't really think much of it because this was just the norm. They just kind of come in the back door and they sneak in and they go grab a seat. In the middle of worship, though, Tony had come into the wrong room. He'd come into the room that was empty. And I don't know what he was thinking, but he decided that he could hear the music that was in the other room. And in the middle of worship, the dividing wall opens up. And Tony steps out, and he's right in the middle of the band. Right in the middle of it. This was him. Like if there was ever a grand entrance, this was it. I'll come back to this in a sec, but verse 7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For Paul, the gifts of the Spirit are a clear indication that the Spirit showed up. A clear indication. It's that moment for Paul that the Spirit's just opening up the dividing wall and stepping in and going, I'm here. I'm here. Like friends, there are so many ways that we think that we know that the Spirit is in our midst. I mean, cognitively we know it because the Bible says the Spirit lives inside of us. But the language we use speaks something about our awareness of the Spirit. We'll say stuff like we felt the Spirit. And sometimes that feeling has nothing to do with the Spirit. Sometimes it's the excitement of people who are excited to be in church. Sometimes there's a certain song that we just love that's full of energy. We just like that. Sometimes it's just that we feel good, life's going well, and we just feel super happy. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not connected with it, but these external things that are stirring our emotions, we sometimes connect those things to the Spirit. And every good gift comes from the Holy Spirit, so in some ways that those things are true. But the truth is that some of the things that we feel is not the identifier of the Spirit in our midst. Manifestation means to bring to light, to make clear. And each time the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in our corporate gathering or in a small group or just one-on-one, whenever the body of Christ is together, it's the Spirit saying, hey, I'm here and I'm participating. I'm here and I'm participating. When somebody in our service speaks out in tongues And there's a word that the interpretation is there, because Paul tells us that if there's going to be tongues, we need to have the interpretation. If that happens, it's the Spirit going, hey, I'm here. I'm here. You can know that I've just revealed myself. I'm here. I'm telling you, I'm here. I'm participating in your gathering. Like, as much as Pastor Jeff's on the stage preaching, you know he's here. Pastor Steve's on the stage, you know he's there doing the worship. The Spirit's going, hey, when the gifts of the Spirit are there, this is me saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm participating in that moment. I was doing a youth retreat a number of years ago for Pastor Carter's previous senior pastor, Jeff Price. He was pastoring up in just north of Newmarket. And he had this group of students that really, they really weren't that mature in their faith. I mean, there was a couple, this young guy and this young girl at the back of the worship time, at the back of the service during the entire retreat, and they just kept making out. And like, I went to Jeff this one moment in the service, and I was like, hey, like, what's the deal? Like they just keep making out while I'm preaching. They're making out during worship, and he's like, ah, I should deal with them. I mean, this was the atmosphere. And so it was all these kids who had come, because he's so evangelistic. He's fantastic at that. But they just weren't very deep in their faith. And I preached on the Saturday morning on something. I have no idea what it was, but we decided that we would have an altar time. There was a bunch of kids who really were hungry to move in closer with God, so they were at the altar. But there was a bunch of other kids that were like this couple, and there was this one guy off in the corner, and I'm just kind of going around the room, and I'm just kind of listening to the Holy Spirit, because he's in my life, and I want to know what he wants to do. And so I come over to this young man, I place my hand on his shoulder, and I just listen. I was like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? This is not a kid who's at the altar. This is a kid who's at the back of the room. He's pretty disengaged, and he closes his eyes. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to say these words to him. And so I was like, okay. I said, I don't understand this, but the Holy Spirit just said to me that he wants you to have a love for God like you did when you were with your grandmother. And the kid starts to bawl. Obviously, something triggered in his heart, and he starts to cry, and didn't understand it, didn't ask anything about it, and I just prayed over him, and he's just weeping. And I finished praying, and I went somewhere else. The kid came over to me, and he said, Pastor Jeff, I got to tell you something. He said, when I was a kid, my family lived really close to my grandmother. And my grandmother used to take me to church, because my parents didn't go. My grandmother used to take me to church. And as a kid, I loved church. I loved Jesus. I was passionate about Jesus. But we moved away from my grandmother, and I stopped going to church, stopped loving Jesus. But Pastor Jeff, I am so convinced that the Holy Spirit is here wanting me to give my life back to him, because there's no way you could have known that. And when you shared those words about God wanted me to love him like when I was with my grandmother, I knew exactly what he meant. I know that God must be real to give you that information. I know that God is here to give you that information. And that day, that kid committed his life back to Jesus to pursue him all over again. In that moment, it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God showing up in a supernatural way to say to this kid who was disconnected from God, I'm here. I'm here. I'm participating in this service. There's a preacher. There's a worship leader. There's a pastor directing this. But there's a Spirit who's trying to transform lives. Spirit is showing up. And he's saying, I'm here. The greatest thing that any person can ever be exposed to when they step in the doors or when they come into a small group is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's better than any sermon I'll preach. He's better than any sermon I'll preach. He's better than any worship song that will be sung. He's better than any kind of program that we'll have. The Spirit of God, when he's participating in the church, will transform lives. Will transform lives. The Spirit's manifestation. The second thing Paul talks about is the Spirit's intent. He says this in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Common good means two things, to bring together and to be profitable. Bring together and to be profitable. When we first moved here, my grandma Hillier, my Nan Hillier, you would always, before we even moved here, she would always give us some kind of gift at Christmas time. She had like 50, I don't know, grandkids, great-grandkids. I mean, just this swath of Hillier extension, and she would buy gifts for everybody. And you know, the bigger the family got, she had to start to do collective gifts. And so this one Christmas when we moved here, she sent us a check for $100 and said, "This is for your family." Angela and I are thinking about, what do we do with this? She wants to bless our family, and so you know, there's five of us. Do we divide it and give each person $20? I mean, my kids could figure out a way to spend $20 just like that, right? And so that would have made a lot of sense. And we could have done that, and we could have given them each $20, and everybody would have found something that they wanted for $20 that would have made them very happy. We could have been, you know, what usually parents do, been the typical step back and be selfless and said, okay, we're going to give Bailey, Brock, and Briar 33 cents each, so one-third of the $100, and we'll hold on to the one penny or whatever, and you know, and let them go and get their own thing. We could have done that. They would have each got the money, this gift, and they would have picked something, and it would have brought them individual happiness. But we felt that my Nan Hillier wanted to do something for the common good. We felt that she wanted to bless her family, and it wasn't just about individual happiness. So that Christmas, we took the $100 and we bought one of those arcade basketball games, the drive-through, the duo shot basketball arcade games. You've probably seen them. They have a basketball net on one side, basketball net on the other side. It's boxed in. There's like a pitching element to it, and so there's a timer that goes off, and you've got to compete against somebody else and try to get the most baskets in. And we just thought we'd buy this for our family and put it down in our basement, and we would put the $100 into something for the common good. I remember right after Christmas Eve service here at the church, we went home, we had some appetizers like we do every Christmas Eve, and then we went downstairs, and for the next hour, we laughed so hard, we had so much fun as we kept competing against each other. The $100 was used to benefit the entire family, not just individual happiness. The gifts of the Spirit will be delivered to individuals, and they will benefit individuals. But Paul says that the gifts of the Spirit are actually for the common good. There's something for the family. It's to benefit the family. It's that $100 buying that one gift for the family so that the family can enjoy it. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5 says, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified." Now listen, Paul's not saying that the gift of tongues is inferior. I want you to understand this. And Paul's not doing away, like some theologians and pastors have done away with the gift of tongues and saying that it has ceased, that we shouldn't focus on it. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying tongues benefits the community if it's interpreted. When you're in community gatherings, he's speaking of the community moment. He says, if you're in a community moment, tongues is beneficial if it's interpreted. But if we're just using tongues in our own prayer language and it's bringing edification to us individually, it doesn't benefit the common good. That's why we're supposed to have an interpretation when there's a gift of tongues. But then he says, prophecy benefits the whole body because it builds them up. It edifies them. Edify means to build up. The Spirit desires the gifts that He would give us to build up the collective church into something that properly reflects God's intent for that church. I shared a few weeks ago about a man who had got healed in our church when I was a kid, and I'll never forget it. Well, there was a season when I was younger, I sat near the back, I'd sit near the back, and there was this man who had got saved, and he had braces on his legs. And every week he would, I'm not going to mimic it, but he would struggle his way down the aisle from the back of the sanctuary to the front. And everybody was aware that this man would not be able to walk because of the braces. And then this one Sunday, I'd heard the report. And I watched as I sat at the back, and this man stepped into the sanctuary holding his braces. And he began to walk to the front of the sanctuary for the first time without braces. The gift of healing had taken place. Someone had prayed over him and he had been healed by the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, he received the gift of healing, but I'm telling you this, it was for the common good. Because as I'm at the back and I'm just a kid, I'm just a junior high who comes to church and hears all kinds of things about God, but very few times did I actually see things of God. And I'm at the back and I'm like, if that guy can be healed, then who's next? Who's next? And every person in that church at that moment, their faith went through the roof and they began to believe that God still heals. One man gets the gift of healing, but it's for the common good because it raises up our faith. It raises up our hope. It raises up our focus on who God is. There have been moments in this church where people have come to me with words that have spoken life into the body. It may have only been for one or two or three people, but those people are connected to other people, and they know their stories, and as they get energized, not by an encouraging word from a human, but by the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit brings life into them, all of a sudden the body gets healthier for the common good. Friends, I want to tell you that the Spirit's intent is to build up this body. The Spirit wants to participate on a regular basis to build up this body, to bring something for the good of this body. It's more than good preaching. It's more than good worship. It's more than good programs. The Spirit wants to participate for the common good of this church. Lastly, the Spirit's desire. Have you ever asked someone or asked yourself what is wanted, what is desired when you come to church? Like when you got up this morning, and friends, if you're anything like me, it's not always easy to get up on a Sunday. I left here on Thursday. My wife drove. I worked on my computer the whole drive to Oshawa. Got to Oshawa, helped move my mom. We're up till, anyways, crazy hours. The entire weekend was to moving my mom, and I'm exhausted. And you get up in the morning, and for me, I have certain things I want to see happen, but at the end of the day, it's just like, this is my job. I've got to do it. Well, what about you, though? What is it that you wanted when you came here? Did you want a good message? Did you want an inspiring worship? Did you want connection to other people? Did you want a religious box checked off so that you'd say, hey, I went to church? What was it that you wanted? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1-4 says, follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And here Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to reveal what it is that the Spirit wants, what it is the Spirit desires for our gatherings. This is important. This is important. Because every time we gather as a church, whether it's the Sunday morning expression, or in our small groups, or maybe just a couple of us are having coffee, the Holy Spirit has a desire for what it is he wants to accomplish in those gatherings. And Paul lays it out, and he says, first of all, the Spirit wants love to lead the way. He wants love to lead the way. You see, in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, there is this chapter that we call the love chapter. Chapter 13 is all about love being the best way, the best way. And Paul does this intentionally, gifts of the Spirit, love, gifts of the Spirit, because friends, if the gifts of the Spirit are to be in operation, love has to be the foundation by which they come about. Has to be the foundation. And what he says is that we are to follow. He goes into chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He doesn't say desire spiritual gifts and then follow the way of love. No, he starts with, hey, listen, everything you do should be driven by love. Friends, if we do anything in this church without love being at the heart of it, we've missed it. Spirit, what he wants is there to be lots and lots of love in this place. He wants there to be lots and lots of love in this place. I'm sure I've told this story before, but there's so many new people, I thought it would be appropriate for me to share again. A guy named Graham Cook was preaching in a church, and he had a word from God about a board member, and the picture that God had given him was that this board member was stabbing the pastor in the back. And so here's the pastor and the board member, and he's about to pray for the board member, and God gives him this picture, and he says, God, what's that up? And God says, this board member's stabbing the pastor in the back. It's as clear as what you see. The picture of him stabbing him in the back is metaphorical of what he's doing. He's stabbing this pastor in the back all the time, criticizing him, cutting him up, tearing him apart. And you know, pastors don't always have the easiest time. There's a lot of opinions out there. I'm speaking for myself. There's a lot of opinions out there, and it's not always easy. And so there is this part of Graham Cook that was like, ignited with anger. And he's like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to give a rebuke to him? And the Spirit goes, no, this is what I want you to do. And he puts the pastor this way, facing here, and puts the board member right here, back to back. And he puts a broom handle in the board member's hand, and he looks at the board member, and he says, this is what God is saying to you. You are called to be a man who has your pastor's back. You're called to be a man who protects your pastor. You're called to be a man who speaks life over your pastor. And he begins to speak of what the man is called to be. This board member starts to weep because he comes under the conviction of what he's been doing. He's been so ruthless with the pastor, so critical of the pastor, and it was so clear that the Spirit could have called him out and condemned him. But love leads the way. Love leads the way. And rather than declare what he's been, the Spirit declared what he would become. The Spirit declared what God was calling him to be. Friends, the Spirit desires, please listen to me. I don't care how right you are. The Spirit desires every time we gather that love would lead the way. Secondly, the Spirit desires that we would desire increase. That we would desire increase. The Spirit wants us to become jealous for the supernatural. Please listen, if you've come into this church and you're not very familiar with the Pentecostal background, we want you here, and you can ask as many questions, but we are a church that has a foundation of expectation that the supernatural will work. And this morning, teenagers, would you look at me for a second? The Spirit put this in my heart. That I need to preach more to you because you are our future. And if this is okay, if this is filled with the Spirit, if this generation is passionate about the Spirit, then our future is okay. Our future is okay. And the Bible says the Spirit wants us to become jealous for the supernatural gifts, a boiling over with desire for the work through our lives. What I felt is that our teenagers, friends, our kids, friends, they need to experience the supernatural, not simply be told what we believe. They need to see a group of people who don't just say we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but are doing what the Spirit wants, that we would be boiling over saying, I want to see the supernatural today. I want to see the work of the Spirit today. I want this generation to know what God is able to do, not by stories, not by cognitive discourse, but I want them to know by what they've experienced in this place. What they've experienced in this place. I want you to imagine that your best friend is dying. And they have this terrible disease. And you meet someone some random way who has the cure for that disease. And this person says that they will give it to you if you deliver it to your friend. Let me ask you a question. Would you do it? I don't need you to respond back because I know you would. If that was the condition that you'll have the cure to your best friend's disease, of course you would deliver it. And when you deliver it, there would be this excitement in your heart, not just for your friend to be cured, but that you get to participate in bringing them life. That as you're driving to your friends, you've got the cure. You've got what they need. You've got something that's going to bring them life. And there is this excitement inside of you that you get to participate in the look that you'll see on their face when you hand them the cure. And when you desire the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and you get to deliver life to somebody, oh friends, the joy is overwhelming. When you listen to the Spirit and you get to bring them hope when they're discouraged, when you get to bring healing, it's not from you, it's from the Spirit of God. But when you get to bring healing to somebody who's sick, there's joy there. When you bring a word of knowledge that gives insight and lets them know that God is there and He knows what's going on, that brings joy to you. This participation, He wants our desire to increase. Friends, please listen. I pray that this church would be a church that wouldn't just come and passively consume. But when you come in this place, there would be this hunger in your hearts to be used by the Holy Spirit in the supernatural. That you would be used by the Spirit, that you would actually fulfill what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, that you would eagerly desire the work, the gifts of the Spirit. You would do that because of love. Thirdly, the Spirit desires that life would be given. Paul says that the gift of prophecy is for the strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Let's just be honest, life's hard. We don't often enter gatherings victorious. I'm aware of this. I'm aware of how when I arrive here before anybody else, I'm walking through the sanctuary and it could have had a tough week, exhausting week. And I take some time to pray, and there's moments where I start to pray and I just don't feel like it, but I'm praying because I don't have that energy. I don't have the life in me before I get up here to preach, and so I'm praying and praying, and the Spirit of God comes. Sometimes we come into church and life is hard. And we enter defeated, and we're hoping there's just something that will carry us through the week. Some of you even come for an encouraging word or for the positive atmosphere. The Bible tells us that the Spirit wants to give gifts that would strengthen you, that would comfort you, that would encourage you, friends. You see, the Spirit wants to participate. He has come here today that life would be given to the lifeless. That those of you who are defeated would be lifted up through the gifts of the Spirit. What if we became aware of the Spirit's presence in our gatherings? What if we recognized His desire to participate? What if we asked Him what He wanted to give those who are without life in our giftings or in our gatherings? Because, friends, so many times, and I'm guilty of it, we walk by, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, it's just been tough. I'll be praying for you. And that's good, and that's great, but what if we ask the Spirit, what do you want to say to that person that will bring life? Not human life, because our words are good, but when the Spirit gives the gift, Zoe life, life that only comes from the Spirit of God, that is so much different than a little encouraging quote. That is so different than some movie that inspires. It is the life that comes from God Himself. I remember driving my car when a few years ago. I was going to a meeting in Toronto, and one of my friends from Montreal, he'd come to my mind. I'd been praying. I just said, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to say? Is there anything you want to do for anybody I know? And all of a sudden, this guy came to my mind, and I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to give him? What life do you want to give him? And so the Spirit dropped something in my heart. I called him up, said, hey. Said, I was just praying, and the Spirit of God put you in my mind, and I don't know if this means anything, but blah, 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 and I just laid it out. There's a silence on the other side. It's like, hello? Bad reception in Montreal? Is that the deal? He's like, you have no idea what I've been going through this week. He said, I needed those words. Those are exactly what I needed for this moment. And all of a sudden, even though I'm in a different province, life comes into my friend. Not Jeff life, but the Spirit's life. And I'm in a gathering, an electronic gathering with one other person of the church. And the Spirit is breathing life. That's what the Spirit wants to do, friends. Let me illustrate this. You get into a car with a friend. And you start talking, you're driving along, and as you're driving, your friend is about to hit the car in front of them because they've been going a little bit too fast. And you're waiting for them to hit the brakes, but all of a sudden the friend pulls their car into the next lane. And you're like, oh, that was close. Keep going, and the car goes back in, and they get close to another one. You're waiting for the brakes, and all of a sudden they pull into another lane, and you miss the car again. And you're like, what is going on? You start to approach the red light. And you're waiting for the brakes to be hit. But instead, your friend looks around, and instead of hitting the brakes, hits the gas pedal and goes right through the red light. And this keeps happening. Finally, you're like, whoa, hold on for a second. Why don't you use your brakes? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. They don't even have an answer for you. And you're like, come on, dude. You've got brakes in your car. They've been placed there for a reason. Why don't you use that which benefits all of us? You would think it would be ridiculous for anybody to not use their brakes if they've got a car that has them installed. How much more foolish is it to be the people of God with the Spirit in us, in our gatherings, and ignore what He wants to do? How much more dangerous is it for us to go through life without paying attention to the person of God who lives in us and who lives in our dwelling places, who wants to do things that are for our benefit? Today, we want to invite the Holy Spirit to participate in our lives. You and I are the people of the Spirit. Paul says that we are the temple, and that's both individually and collectively. The Spirit of God is in this place, friends. He's in this place. The one who hovered over nothingness in Genesis chapter 1. The one who came to the grave where Jesus was dead and brought life to him. The one who was at Solomon's colonnade when Peter and John said, silver and gold, I don't have. The Spirit who has constantly been working is in this place. He's in this place. And He wants to participate in our gatherings, not just now, but every time we meet. And He wants to participate not just in the formal gatherings, but in the casual ones. And I want to challenge us as a church, because the church can become lukewarm and we can get so focused on speaking about life things that are not bad, everything but the things of the Spirit. But the Spirit wants to be and work in every gathering. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask that you would begin to ask Him to participate more in your life. I'm telling you this, though. The more He participates, the more life comes. The more He participates, the more we're built up. The more He participates, the more this is truly a place about God and not about human desires. The Spirit is here, and He wants to participate. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that You would forgive us for the times that we've treated You like Tony, where we've been so anxious about what You might say or do. And I know there are some here today where there's a trepidation, because what if You give them something? This is stepping out of the boat, but if we're not growing in our Christianity, we become stagnant. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to grow us. Let us do what Paul said, that we would follow the way of love, and we would eagerly desire, boil over with a desire for the gifts of the Spirit, so that there might be life in this place. There might be life in the places we go. And so I ask, come Holy Spirit, come today and do what You desire. Participate in this place now. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The church, as we end this series and we end this message, let's walk with the Spirit and allow Him to participate in our lives, in our gatherings, and watch and see what He will do. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank You so much that You're here today and that You've spoken through a number of lives. And I know that You're going to continue to speak, and we want to pay more and more attention to You. So Holy Spirit, would you move in our lives? Would You speak into our lives as we learn more and more of Your presence, as we pay more attention to You, as we remove You from the margins to the center of our lives? Would You do things in us, and would You do things through us? May the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural, be at work in this church. And may we know that God is alive because of what the Spirit's doing. Now be with this church today as they go about their week and bless them in a mighty way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, everyone.